This is down to brass tacks.
Good morning, Mr. Ellis. How are you?
Hi, morning. I'm okay.
Yeah, I'm calling about, well, first let me point out that all those people who want these exemptions, then the lockdown won't make any sense, because next week, the repairman is going to want an exemption too as well. Anyhow, I would like to know if they can possibly look at how those people who do physical or morning exercise and so forth, if they can assign a time for us, because we are, at least the senior people, need to continue to exercise. It's going to be difficult to go on for 10, 14 days of exercising.
Okay, but I understand that particular challenge, but it is also a time for us to be a little bit more innovative. If we cannot go out on the road or you can't go to the gym, then...
Not the gym. No, I'm not talking about the gym.
What are you talking about? Walking?
Yeah, the walking. You know, I'm running. Run around the house. The house isn't that big. You're running around the house. You can do this.
You could do certain on-the-spot jogging and stuff like that.
And most runners would do it between like 5 and 6, 6:37. So.
Well, that question was posed and it has been made clear that you're not supposed to be out on the streets.
Yeah, we are
exercising.
But they may revisit it. But
in the meantime, what are you doing? How do you exercise?
I am using elliptical, but it's not the same thing. What I've found when I used to exercise on the road, my blood pressure reading was a lot better.
Okay.
So I know you start with the elliptical. It's not the same.
So what, you did jog or you walk?
I'm a runner.
You're a runner. Okay.
Yeah. Under normal conditions, I would hit the road around 3-4 miles. Under normal conditions. So I just think that we should lift it a little bit because, as I said, my pressure reading is not as good as if I could have run normally.
And you are not one of those who can go on YouTube and pull up an exercise program and...
I can run it, only run alone. I run it with my feet.
I know. I am like that too. I tend to prefer to jog alone. I don't call myself a runner. I call myself just a jogger. One of the problems with jogging, especially on the road, is that you have to watch the pounding and what that can do to your knees.
Well, I try to buy good running shoes because, I mean, for me, it's a health thing. It's a health issue. I want to continue to run. That's the one of the things that really keep my blood pressure pretty stable. I can eat healthy and everything, but the running helps.
And you can't do that on the spot?
No. It's difficult. It's really difficult. I run generally about 4 hours, 5 weeks or morning. So to do that on the spot, for that sort of thing.
It's difficult to do that on the spot? Well, you can set the clock for the hour and 5 minutes.
Yeah, but I understand it, but I just try my best.
Okay, well, because I know that is one way in which you can improvise.
England, I went to exercise. I mean, the threaten this weekend that they may stop it, but people in England are still exercising and so forth.
That's
correct. But I'm not aware of all these excuses and exemptions, to be quite honest with you. And that's the Terramanga water exemption, because the Terramanga is significant. If a fellow goes to the road and gets a flat, everybody. So, but I'm not in favor of all the exemptions. But I'm saying from a health point of view, let the people who do exercises in the morning to continue to do that. If that's possible. If it's not, well, tough luck.
Yes. All right. Thank you very much for calling. Hello?
Good morning, Sir David.
Good morning.
You know, you see what I give you. I heard the Prime Minister say she's going to give award to people on the front line. So I got you on the front line.
Got me on the front line?
Yeah.
I really on the front line for a long time having to deal with you. I got, right. I'm not only on the front line, I'm on the firing line very often.
Okay. Now, out of this virus, I have two observations. One in the productive sector, and the other one in discipline sector. But the most important question I remains for the last. Now, what I have recognized, productive-wise, those supermarkets did a tremendous job as far as production is concerned. I know you learned unitary method at school, when they used to ask you, like, as 6 men, say, do X job, how much one man would take. What I have recognized is that those workers at the supermarket serve the consumers. And one day, from 9 to 5, what it would have taken them maybe 2 weeks to serve. So that was a tremendous production. I don't know if sooner or later that the supermarket owners can realize that they made as much money in 8 hours as they made in 2 weeks. You follow where I'm coming from? The amount of people that the supermarket served from 9 to 5 on Friday was a tremendous attempt. And the beneficiaries that come out of that, the owners of the supermarket, got to get more production with less labor. That's one. Let me deal with this thing. All the time, we and this public was crying out about the cramped minibuses and the speed they were traveling at. I have realized that the minibuses, those Zara vans and those yellow buses, were disciplined from the time this virus came about. That's the discipline. Now, let me go on to the important question, and the most important question, because you were very upfront, that we call you, Sir David, with this one. Now, when the government took office, within a couple of months, they said we were at the verge of the dollar being devalued. You can remember that?
Yes.
Good. Now, this, I am not blaming the government. Let me come out front and say I'm not blaming the government. But what has taken place over the last 2 weeks has never yet taken place in this country. One, the whole hotel sector tourism collapsed, shut down. The country shut down. There's no income coming in. More people on the verge of layoffs. What will be the status of the dollar note at this stage?
I think you would have heard the Prime Minister speak about that very early on in the crisis. And that's why Barbados has been looking to the IMF to give some support to us. The IMF has allocated a lot of money to countries because it recognizes that the world economy is really in a state of depression as a result of what is going on right now. Barbados has been able to shore up the foreign reserves and get the debt rescheduled. But in a situation such as the one that we find ourselves, that's not going to be enough. So that's where the support becomes absolutely necessary.
Because after a hurricane, you got to do rebuilding.
Yes.
And that is why I made reference to that, because during the period of time when we were saying the dollar was going to be devalued, the tourism sector was still functioning. The country was not in any collapse mode. And people, yes, few people went home. So the status then, when people were crying out, they said the dollar was at the verge of collapse. This situation is worse then. So I am awaiting the economists to come out and tell us what will be the outcome of this country dollar in these conditions.
Sir, I just told you that a critical issue in that equation has to do with the foreign reserves position of the country. The foreign reserves position has improved considerably largely because Barbados has been able to get financing from the International Monetary Fund, the Inter-American Development Bank, and the Caribbean Development Bank. All right?
Yeah, so, but we've
just give me a break.
Yeah.
So in those circumstances, as it stands right now, that threat does not loom in the way that it did before. However, the government anticipated that this was going to create an additional problem, and therefore Barbados and other Caribbean countries have approached the International Monetary Fund for further support.
Okay? Yeah, I that is why I said to you, because people could be very curious, because it's hard to ask questions to believe that you're against the government. But I'm looking at reality. The fact remains is that the collapse of tourism, which was the role that we were depending mainly on, and then the shutdown in the country, we never had it so within the last 50 or 60 years. Mm-hmm. I am saying now that this is a battle that is going to be on the hands not only on the private sector, it is going to be on the hands of the public, because whenever everything falls down, we still have to look to see where are we going to get finance and the productive sectors, as you would realize. Fair the enough. Only part right now that is going is the reaping of the little sugar cane we have. This is a serious problem.
It is serious for our economy once it has been jolted in this way, because, I mean, when you have to shut down the tourist sector because of it, you know, it puts so many people's situation in jeopardy. Some people are being asked to take cuts in pay. Some people are being asked to take the vacation now. And, you know, there's every possibility, it depends upon what happens with the figures, that we may go longer than 2 weeks. There are other countries that have had to extend the shutdown. So what happens then? It is already a very serious problem for many people on the ground, okay? Thank you very much for raising it. Down to brass tacks. Hello? The COVID hotline number is 536-4500 for those of you who want it. 436-4500. Hello?
Well, good morning.
Hi, good morning.
You can hear me?
Yes.
I would like to ask a very small question. This has just been a concern to me. I have one of the family members, and I also are one of the essential workers, all right? Mm-hmm. Can you hear me?
Yes, yes.
In a situation, I do have to... Well, there's a past, I do have to take her to the hospital as a nurse. And now, it also came to me that I do not use light and power. I have solar systems in place.
Yeah.
Because of all the rush with food and everything, I hear that certain things, like the necessities to run the household, was not possible. So, over the weekend, while taking her down, I realized that the current situation is in terms of electricity shut off prematurely the night in front. So on checking, I realized that my battery system, because I work with the battery system, it had needed something as simple as distilled water top up. You can understand that. So ongoing, I stopped by one of the gas stations. Yes, I understand the gas stations have to... They have to follow strict procedure protocol in terms of gas on the outside, top up on the inside. But I asked a simple question, this an explanation. And it was said to me by one of the managers, I'm not paying $50,000 or whatever it is to give nobody no water. And I explained that I understand that. But it's just a matter of distilled water. Also, I asked him in a situation, because you know you're asking questions where I do have to take someone to work. Is there anything you can do in terms of like oil, topping up your oils, brake fluid, anything? Because I said, well, that's also, and it was said that the only thing that the gas station can sell is gasoline or gas.
And why do you think that was put in place? Why do you think the authorities said that they had to close and nothing other than top-ups would be accepted there?
Because they're walking? I don't know, you tell me. They're walking...
Because it's like the caller earlier who spoke about all the exemptions. Everybody can come up with a reason why you need to be exempted from this and exempted from that.
Understood.
And if you go through all of these exemptions... Then you're back to square one. You have all these transactions going on. You're spreading virus more and more. And you tell me you're a nurse, right?
No, I said I dropped a nurse.
You dropped a nurse. All right.
What in place do we have? Okay, yes, you've given permission, but I have a pass. You've given permission for me to be able to use the road. Am I correct?
You have a pass for that purpose, because you are transporting somebody correct. In the essential services.
Correct. So I'm using a vehicle to transport. Vehicles, as we all know, is still on the road. It needs certain essentials.
Yeah, well. But you know, the truth of the matter is, you have to draw the line somewhere. I mean, if you don't draw the line somewhere, you will have far too many people out there. Look, I can share with you this summary that is here from the BBC. One of the things they are saying here is that new infections and deaths have fallen in Spain and Italy in recent days. They are saying that this suggests that the lockdowns are working. The ultimate objective is that you've got to make a sacrifice to avoid creating an environment where you have the kind of death rate that currently obtains in the United States, in New York in particular, and what has happened in Italy and in Spain. So that is where we are with this virus. The people here writing me who are saying that there's an attitude that they're seeing displayed on the streets even today that suggests that there are people who are not taking it seriously.
I understand that. I mean, there's nothing what you say I can say that's wrong, you know. But with exceptions, there should be something in place. There are people that are doing deliveries for supermarkets. There are things I say that you will need.
Look, we are human beings, right? We are human beings. If you find yourself in a very difficult situation and you approach an individual for assistance, then that individual can exercise some level of discretion in determining whether yours is a crisis situation and one that deserves attention. When you went to the automart and you went to the manager, he really didn't know that you transport and somebody in the essential service.
He did actually, but what was said was that I'm not blaming. What he said was, because the police, they're going to the gas station and they're kind of like making sure no transactions are
right. So he doesn't want to be held responsible for breaking the curfew.
Yeah, he's more of a fear, but
breaking the curfew.
But everything, David, is not always black and white. Things are not. I mean, sometimes to make things work, you have to realize that sometimes it is not a bending of a rule, but it's to be able to work with someone else. Because we all here to make things better. We're all trying to do our part. And if everything was trying to do our part, I mean, you're doing your part, but yet still, you have certain exceptions to be able to go to one radio station. You won't be able to work with each other in situations like that. Sometimes it might be an elderly needs something, you're going to call someone, just even walk to the elderly to give them something, but curfew says don't leave your house. Sometimes we, in situations like that, we gotta understand it's not always a clear cut case. But that's what we want to really express, if you understand where I'm coming from.
Okay, I got you.
But thanks a lot.
Thanks for calling. All right. That's why we're here. Hello.
Good morning, David.
Yes, good morning. How are you?
I'm pretty good, you know. What about yourself?
I'm okay.
Good, glad to hear. Now, David, there's a very, very important situation I need to put to you. So I want you to give me at least some guidance on it. But before I go to that, I must say, I don't know if you observed during the course of the time when this thing, a pandemic, was first announced. Have you, David, seen any queues whatsoever at the hardware stores in this country?
No, I can't remember seeing queues at hardware stores.
No, so that's my concern. And I'm listening to this program, and I'm really amazed at what I'm hearing people calling, complaining about hardware, and they can't get items from the hardware. Now, when this thing was first brought to the country, everyone flocked the supermarkets in their numbers. And no one seems to understand or care that they would have had plumbing issues at their homes. So no one take it upon themselves to go and stock up with any kind of hardware items.
But now all of a sudden, so
let me ask you, who you stop? Give me some insight into what you've stopped up with from the hardware store.
Well, David, you know my profession, so I normally use the basic things that would apply.
So what have you stocked up with?
David, then, I mean...
Because you're not, it's not about your profession, you know. It is like the guy who said that he had a plumbing problem. To just guard against the plumbing problem, let me hear the mix of things that you bought.
As I said, it's only for my business, so to speak.
Right.
But and I always stock up. To be honest with you, I always stock with the items that I really need. As far as I could take you by my place and show you almost anything that I would need to use. So I don't really have to rush to the hardware.
Anyhow.
But that's what I'm really concerned, you know. Excuse me. But all of a sudden, I'm really concerned to hear this. Everybody got a problem now with the hardware being closed.
You have a lot of people in Barbados, and you're going to have different problems at different times. But the real issue here is that for 2 weeks, we are supposed to be on lockdown. The reason we are supposed to be on lockdown is to reduce and minimize the extent to which we come into contact with one another so that we can, as they say, flatten the curve.
Correct.
Stop this thing from spreading.
Correct.
And, you know, there are going to be situations where there going to have to be an adjustment. If you have a problem like that, you know, you're going to try to see it, to what extent you can deal with it, you can grapple with it. If you can't get it sorted out, then you perhaps will call and ask what's the best that can be done. Ask a friend. You got to find a way around some of these problems in the interim.
Correct.
But it is going to be difficult to open up everything in the way that some people would want to be exempted, you know?
You know, unless we continue this, David, there's no need for you to go through then, you know? Because everybody believes that they have a special need, so every establishment must be open. And they don't understand, they need to understand, even as some guy called you just now and told you, so Mark should open, he want to buy something for Easter. I think they need to understand that there's a very, very serious situation that this country is being faced with. The first thing they must understand. And they must also understand that they're 14-day period, that this curfew is in effect, and they need to understand that they have to wait until the 14 days expire and see then what the government decision would be after that 14 days.
This person says here, good morning. I'm a Bajan living in New York, working in a hospital in health information. I enjoy listening to your program and station every day. Here's an example of the essential services in New York City. Gas stations, hardware stores, supermarkets, auto repair shops, bakeries, green groceries, pharmacies, IT workers, electrical services, telecommunications repair technicians, transit workers, fish and meat shops, post office, and all hospital and healthcare workers. Only 10 persons are allowed to be in stores at a time. Bajans need to take this seriously and listen. It is dangerous out here. Be safe. God bless all your staff at VOB. And you will recognize that this varies from place to place. That may be so in New York, elsewhere. You know, they're handling it differently. I'm sure the authorities are listening, and they will take all this into consideration in looking at the way forward for the rest of this week and into the next week. Down to Brass Tacks, hello.
Yes, hello.
Yes, welcome.
Morning. I just wanted to be sure I'm on the air. I was calling because I had a problem before with medication. I'm a senior citizen, and I did get part of my prescription fulfilled. There were three items, and I got two of the items. So there's one that I guess they didn't have it in stock at that time because I'm going to the polyclinic. So I needed to get the clearance for the one remaining item. And I was trying to get through to the Department for Elder Affairs or something like that that they would know what medication, because someone brought it and delivered it to my home. So I needed to make that contact. But so far, I have not been able to get through to that number. Unless you can give me a different number, I'd appreciate it.
I'll have to check for that. I don't have that to hand.
Okay, there's one other thing that is just amazing to me this morning. I heard you talking to someone, and they were talking about problems with the plumbing and that they couldn't get the toilet to flush or something of that nature, and there are no plumbers available because they didn't have permission to be out. And just by chance, I happened to be reading something on my computer, and it said how to clear a blocked toilet. And they said, if you take your regular dishwashing liquid and pour it into the toilet that's blocked, along with like 2 cupfuls of warm water, and over time you will see it starts to bubble, and slowly it will just go down, and then it will clear the blockage just like that. You don't need a plumber. So maybe that person, if they're listening, will be able to get through.
Okay, thank you very much. Down to Brass Tacks.
Good morning.
Hi, good morning. Hello. Yes, we're here.
You can hear me?
Yes.
Mr. I find that last week I shopped. Early in the week, Monday and Tuesdays, there were no lines outside the stores. You go inside the store, shop smart, I went in. They have a distance where you stay from the cash register. And there was nobody in the store. By the end of the week, you go back to the store, you have all these lines. I find that since the complaints come in that they have to just let in X amount of people, that's where the crowds start coming outside. You don't think all those people leave home to shop one time? But so if the supermarkets was open and the circulation was going like it was going before, like early week, there was nobody in the store, no lines or anything, you won't have all those crowds of people outside.
Yes, I think the decision to limit the number of people on the inside impacts on how many people are left outside.
Right, but like I said, when that didn't happen, when they leave the door open, they never had that many people in the store. There was no lines at the cash register, even at Price Mart. Then Price Mart said it would open 8 to 9 for senior citizens. You get there at 8, and no door was open. They say you wouldn't have to line up. You walk right in, and then when you get there in the morning to go in from 8 to 9, they change their mind. So then a line accumulated, and everybody went in at 9. I think the complaints with closing the door and doing that is what's causing the crowd outside everywhere. I feel if it was just free to movement, everybody was just going and shopping, nobody wouldn't be in the store. Like I say, I shop early in the week, and nobody was in none of the stores. They have Jordan's got a line, it's so many feet from the cash register, and there was nobody behind the line, only me. So the complaints were closing the door and letting it, that was a big mistake. That's why all these people gathered outside, which is terrible.
All right. Thank you very much for drawing it to our attention. Then the hotline, the previous caller wanted to know this number. This is the hotline for the Department of Elder Affairs. It is 536-4673. I'll call it again. 536-4673. This is Down to Brass Tacks.
Ms. Ellis?
Yes, good morning.
I want to put a disclaimer and clear the air on something that was said after I spoke to you about this electrical thing. Someone rightfully said that Raul is an electrician, but I do not want no unauthorized person to advise any householder, go play around with no breakers and bedroom breakers and put it on that breaker and thing. I want a disclaimer to that. Any electrical concern should be dealt with a licensed electrician. Electrical expert license. No householder. Do not listen to that advice, but go take in one breaker from the bedroom plugs and put it. Do not mess around your panel or go touching anything electrical.
All right, sir. Thank you very much. Down to Brass Tacks.
Good morning.
Yes. Good morning.
This is the only issue. Turn the bedroom check.
Can you turn your radio off? Or something in the, so there's some noise in the background there.
Not the long lines though.
Pardon me?
on the post office when you post office.
Can you speak up, please, so that everybody can hear you properly?
Yes, I'm talking about the long lines for the Canadian independent check tomorrow. There will be long lines, though.
I don't know. I can't anticipate what will happen tomorrow when people go to get the pension checks filled.
Okay, and the issue about what you have person doing to find a vaccine. Are they going in labs to find a vaccine?
Well, they're trying to find a vaccine all over the developed world. I suppose there are some developing countries that might be working on vaccines as well. There's a race to find one. Okay?
Yeah, but we should find one too. We shouldn't wait for
But you should work on one yourself. You shouldn't wait for anybody else. You know how much money you can make if you are able to find a vaccine?
Lemongrass and things like that.
Whatever you want to use. But you know, you got to get checked with the doctor at the end of the day. You know, you're not supposed to go and experiment with these things.
But when you go in lab, you're going to still experiment.
No, but you are not supposed to do it. Trained people are supposed to be involved in that. Oh, you go and poison yourself.
Oh, do you know I'm trained in herbalist?
Who, you're a herbalist?
Yes.
You are? What evidence do you have that your herbs work?
Because when you use the sequence sensitivity to do...
To do what?
Carry a cold and say it works.
You did that for yourself?
But anyway,
I don't know. I really don't know how well it worked. I don't know what other ailments you have been left with. You know, you could get rid of a cold and it with a straight foot. I don't know.
you could use a medicine too, and it was
precisely. So you know, there's a lot more that you gotta do to establish whether the medicine has worked. You know, so please, I don't want you to get involved in encouraging people to go and take their own thing in that regard. That is not.
I understand.
That is not the thing for us to do.
Yes, but you are still try to find methods to. We can't wait. What is your horse? What are you guys going? Your horse timing?
I think the advice that you need to be given is follow what the trained people, the professional people, the people who have been trained in that particular area are telling you. Now, I live in a world where there are people who practice medicine who have qualified in that area, and they got people who have qualified in alternative medicine as well. So you can take your pick, all right? This is Down to Brass Tacks.
Morning, sir. How are you?
I'm well, and you?
Blessed in the name of the Lord. First, I want to thank God for life this morning and hope that everyone in Barbados keeps safe and adhere to rules and guidelines that government has set. But I call here with a concern because this will be the third time that I'm calling, and they got the disease coronavirus, and here at Rainbow Garden we are dealing with chicken virus. And these people doing these things and exploiting. Right now out here it stinks, the wind is high and it stinks. We know that the inspectors and thing is busy right now, so we can't get no help. We call a large complaint and not to this day no help. I will let this problem resolve. I want the relevant authority who belongs to this household to address this issue. The same way that them can make money, it affects our health. It has to stop. The rules are in this area, no shops, no bars, no livestock. But yet you're breaching protocol and doing as you please. It has to stop. And when you But doing as them please, David, I am grieved at this moment. It has to stop.
Okay. Down to Brass Tacks. Hello? It's 11:38. Hello. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Mr. Allen, morning.
Yes, good morning.
How are you, sir?
I am well, and you?
I'm not as good as you with all the money in the world, but I'm still hanging in.
You say you got all the money in the world, you say?
Yeah, you mean you got all the money in the world, but you're still here hanging in?
You've got me mixed up.
I've been calling for a long time.
That's true. I haven't heard your voice for a while.
Yeah. That is true, yeah. What they call you for, after hearing the they said the post office guy, I think I heard the one by me, but well, not Wednesday. I still hear a lot of, I hear Wednesday and Thursday. I don't know the correct date that the pensioners, I'm a pensioner, they ain't give me nothing yet. But
you're not a pensioner yet.
I didn't give me nothing yet. Boy, it's a man, I'm 67. And I had a commercial, you know, Mr. Ellen, I'm so cruel. I tried to come in. I talked with Corey yesterday on my Saturday or Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
I tell Corey to come into the station over here, you know.
Why?
You know, there's a...
Why?
You see, at this point in time, whoever met that law or that rule that people said sit down and wait till 67, it won't dismantle completely from this same moment. You know what's going on in this world? He like we so that ain't got nobody to depend for. We don't work in the day. We don't get welfare. We don't get nothing. Are you telling us that we got no to wait till 67 and all kind of academic coming to the world now?
So you're 65?
I'm 65, 12 and 66.
Right. So they asked you to wait for 2 years before you could actually get pension. And a lot of people are in that situation. Really,
yes.
A very difficult one. They have to start work at 65, but they can't get a pension till they're 67.
That is true. But you know, I asked a question about that. I married twice.
I didn't know that.
I married twice. I got two first ladies. Now two give me children. Thank God for them. I'm about to go back. I ain't going back again. I know I'm not going to go back again. Because I mean, you're still sweet at your table. Okay.
Because what? I missed that one. You said what?
Sometimes you still feel eligible.
Eligible. Okay.
Yes.
You mean eligible?
Yeah, you're
still eligible.
Yeah. You still, yeah. Or I go back, yeah. And I die at 66. You know what is way here? This way here. Last thing incredible that is. Oh, the children will get a grab. I was told here it was $2,000. And the rest go back into the fund. Now here it is. Now for me, you getting my two children $2,000. As the government is funeral, not your funeral, the people do the flowers. They call it we got a name for them. They met the reap and thing.
Florist?
Flowers, I think. That's the word. And they put up this one, Dad, $1,000 gone. Now, when I'm going to know to you or CBC to ask, we announce the death, Richard Ernest Miller, and start to continue. I just said that Valley, Ellerton, Grenada, the money burned up. Anyone went by the man down here on the hill, because I didn't see how much he can charge me. So you see that kind of work. Me and these people that want to step back for 67, we need our pensions now. And nobody can employ me. I had the cabinet and the joint. Nobody can give me $100 a day. I know I want $50 a day. They're going to come again. Somebody younger than me, $60, $80, $75 a day. And when they get the bad work, they call back me. But I'm too young for that kind of behavior. All right, I was talking about the post offices now.
Yeah.
But it shut down now. It put me over the Bible says, a time can come that you ain't got the money, then you can't spend it. So when the money come out now, you're going to get the pension change Wednesday, Thursday. The any supermarket going to be here if they could get. But I ain't getting no money, but I get help. Praise God. I ain't live bad. And I had to get one. I had to get a little check to go with that thing. Let it go and shop. I didn't want to. Look, Mr. Ellis, my house got a very few things. But little money he had, but he could just play it long lines. We have a wall over Barbados. Long lines. And the only thing that's lined up in the Caribbean is that one behind the other. I don't even want to line up today. It's real painful. And this morning, I was looking at something there in Grenada. I think I hear the supermarket can't open. Today, I thought we'd do something like that there for me. So I ain't got nothing much. I couldn't line up in that hot sun. And then when you do get in, you ain't getting nothing. Everybody's touching everything and gone. I demand like turkey wings, they ain't getting nothing too. So then, you still there?
I'm listening to you.
Yeah, I like nine, so I think got some supermarket open up here by me or something or somebody that even today was shop through the tennis, let you people like me so that I ain't get nothing, won't get something.
All right. Well, yeah. Thanks for calling. It's a pleasure to hear you after such a long time. Yes.
Uh-huh. Okay, there, bro.
We are getting several reports here from people in different parts of the country who seem to feel, particularly in St. Michael areas and stuff, that there are too many vehicles on our roads for a lockdown. Now, the only people who can really deal with that are the police. And they're the ones who have to put the measures in place to ensure that the curfew is respected. What is being suggested by way of the comments that are coming here on WhatsApp is that many people feel that the whole objective of this curfew is being undermined by the frequency with which they are seeing people up and down in their neighborhoods. The question is, what is the plan that the police unveil for trying to make sure that the society is better protected? Because you know one thing, you can't sit down in this country and rely on any moral suasion. If you seek to rely on moral suasion and you don't deal with this now, by the end of this week, you are going to see so many people out there on these streets that you'll be shocked. Are you going to wait? Because this is our society's behavior. Wait until the horse out of the stable and then try to deal with it. Then try to pull it back. Then you have to be dealing with tougher measures and that sort of thing. It's better to nip this thing in the bud. This is Down to Brass Tacks.
Good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon.
I'm glad you mentioned that. I have two family members who are working in the sectors that are allowed by government to operate. And in both cases, neither of their bosses have issued them with the requisite passes that they need to be on the road, so that they have proof that they're going to be going to their jobs.
Okay.
In one specific case, this morning, just after the 24, you know, the weekend after the 24-hour curfew has been basically in place, because it is a company that is a distributor of drinks, sodas, you know, et cetera. The employees basically expressed concerns about the passes and were, because they did not want to not turn up for work, were given some indication that the passes would be available when they arrived at their workplace. One or two of them turned up for work and found the place completely locked down. No one at the workplace. They then had to make their way back home. Others were at home basically waiting for some word, dressed, waiting for some word from their employer as to, you know, what was the status of the pass, so that they could make their way for to the workplace to begin their duties. And nothing, as at the time of speaking, has basically been communicated.
All right. Well, first of all, you have to... Do you know whether the workers were asked to apply for the passes? Because you have to send information to a particular government department. Was that done?
Apparently, it was only done after the employees from last night began to inquire about the passes.
Well, it is possible that the employer could have been tardy in getting the information into the relevant authorities. However, this leaves the employees in a situation where they can be stopped by the police.
Yes.
And they can be turned back by the police.
Yes. And they drew
so
that.
Anybody who is running a company and it is considered an essential service, does not want to be in the position where its workers, the company's workers, are sent back home because they don't have the relevant pass. So it doesn't make sense for the employer to have operated in this particular way. Something, you know, as they say, the employer would have dropped the ball. And you drop the ball to the detriment of your own essential, so-called essential service. It can't be that essential if you're going to operate so.
And in the employee's mind, where they may not have been aware of that situation, at the forefront of their mind is not turning up for work and having be at risk of losing my job because I didn't turn up.
That's unreasonable. That would be unreasonable in circumstances where the police are checking people on the streets for their passes. I mean, if the employer has failed to get the necessary passes, and let me say to you that in some instances, people have made the applications and then they have to wait a while before they could get them, because in the initial stages, there were so many people who needed to get passes that, you know, there was apparently some kind of bottleneck. But if the employer has failed to do what was required, it is very difficult to see how they can then take that out on the worker. That doesn't make sense. Or penalize the worker.
And when you say, and if we say take that out, and we're talking penalty, are we then using the word penalty in the context of penalty of pay, loss of wages?
Loss of job, any of those things. I mean, that is a matter that...
the employee can't go to work, and it is an essential service. Then you obviously...
The employee needs to take advice on that. There are people, there's a labor department in Barbados, and there are other places where you can get advice on something like that. That is not acceptable. And surely what we must guard against is creating an environment in which anyone wants to take advantage of the other in this emergency period. Look, we have to live beyond this. And the kind of behavior that we indulge in right here and right now has the potential to come back and haunt either employers or employees. So, you know, we have to realize that this is not a period for exploitation of one by the other. Okay? Thank you very much. Somebody wants to know, how can a top-up be more important than a bottle of gas? They're suggesting that, I mean, these gas stations are open for top-ups, but according to them, they're not getting bottled gas at the gas stations. Now, I don't think that what the government set in motion was supposed to go in that kind of direction. If the government has allowed people in essential services to get gas for their cars and gas stations are open for a period, I thought that the gas was both for cars and for your home. So, I mean, if I'm wrong, please clarify for me. But it can't be that a top-up is more important than gas in somebody's home. This is Down to Brass Tacks.